Former Florida educator Anthony Hamlet officially began his new role as Pittsburgh Public Schools' next superintendent Friday by taking an oath of office. He apologized for what he called the unintended distraction in the beginning of his tenure caused by allegations of misrepresentation and plagiarism in his resume. He said he will work with leaders of the community, regardless of their previous support, to address the needs of current Pittsburgh students. In his first day on the job, he sat down with 90.5 WESA's Sarah Schneider.
After you were sworn in, you mentioned a 90-day plan that includes a transitional team. What else do you plan on doing in your first 3 months in this role?
Well, basically, I want to look, listen, and learn. You know, I'm one, you know, first to seek to understand and then to be understood. So either Stephen Covey says that. So I want to make sure I understand what the needs are. And I'm not one to come in and be a top-down, this is Dr. Hamlet's way, this is how we're going to do this. I want to gain the collective voice of students, parents, faculty, staff, administrators, politicians, anybody and everybody who's interested in public education and helping our children come together and have that collective voice and hear what the needs are moving forward.
And outside of the first 3 months, what will your priorities be in this role?
Outside the 3 months will try to shape my priorities about looking, listening, and learning and doing a lot of reading about what's going on, asking about specific programming like your curriculum, things of that nature. You'll begin to understand what needs to be changed, what needs to be stay the same, what needs to be supported. So definitely looking to build upon my predecessor's foundation that she's laid in place.
Absolutely. Yep. And one of the things that Dr. Lane just pushed in her time here was restorative discipline. And I know you've talked a lot about that. So how will you move forward what the district already has in place?
As I'm beginning to understand that, we don't have the findings back from that first year, so we don't have the baseline information. But while we're waiting on that, definitely find out more reading on the material, exactly what the program model, because you can have different models of restorative practices and how they operate or implement. So I want to make sure, and I know it's a different organization who's doing it here than I used down in South Florida. Definitely seek to understand what the program model is, begin to talk to the implementers of the program, to see what their vision is and how they implement it and going from there. And then hopefully by that time, the feedback has come back as far as the data from the first year, and then we can go from there.
And today you spoke about the claims of plagiarism and data discrepancies, and you referred to that as a distraction in the start of your career here. So how do you plan to move on from this and gain the trust of students, teachers, community members who this is all that they know of you so far?
That's pretty disappointing. But 22 years and an impeccable track record in Florida, and now I'm coming there, these issues. So hopefully they can see that. But also allow me to sit down and talk to you about the vision that we have or we want to create for Pittsburgh Public Schools and see who I am as an educator and what I'm about and what I want to bring to the table. But lastly, make sure that they understand the focus, the laser-like focus that I will have on the support for all of the constituents within Pittsburgh Public Schools, making sure that the students have the resources, teachers, faculty, staff, administrators, and central office will have an overall focus and shift to make sure that we're supporting the needs of the schools. And that's what it should be about every day.
How do you respond to being accused of plagiarism?
Honestly, in a nutshell, it came at a speechwriter write it. I never used it because I didn't do the engagements, whatever it was. I didn't know until I read the article in Pittsburgh Post and said I had no idea. So for me, the definition of plagiarism is knowingly, intentionally using others' words. In a nutshell, I didn't know. Now I know, I will change. Again, I apologize for the distraction this has caused, but really want to focus on Pittsburgh Public Schools and what needs to happen for these children and the faculty and the staff moving forward.
So if a student is accused of plagiarism, how do you talk to them about this, of what you've been through?
About the same experience that I just had, the same thing I just told you.
Mm-hmm. That
making sure, understanding what plagiarism is. So I would say this, if you ask somebody to write your speech, I guess now make sure you run it through plagiarism checker.
You know, one of the things board members have said that they were drawn to about you was that your work that you were able to do, providing opportunities for students from low-income families. But I think right now we're seeing a lot of middle-class families leaving the district or putting their students into a private school. So how do you bring them back?
You know, and I think maybe that's why some might be kind of leery about me right now, also because they think I'm just low performing and I focus on that. I come from a standpoint, my background is in, I started in affluent schools at Wellington High School, which is an A school, always been affluent demographic wise, maybe like 90%, 85% white, and then the rest, you know, a few percent African American here and there. So I've come up through affluent down to schools that were not necessarily affluent, but a different demographic as well. Maybe my last school I was at, 90% African American. So I've run the gamut as far as demographic ranges you can have. Clearly understand the needs in all those particular schools, and they have different needs that they have. So I also coming from the standpoint of majority of time in my research and my paying attention to education over a course of 22 years, there's a tendency to focus on a low 25, high 25, and we forget the middle, like you're saying. I want to make sure we focus on the middle and have programming for those students as well. So we will be having specific program for that middle child, as you would say, or that middle student. Sometimes people call them the invisibles because they're those students who will never get in trouble. You never see them in the dean's office. They're good kids, but maybe have like a 2.5, 2.6, 2.3. So they're not that high upper echelon student. So they never really come to the office because you're worrying about the low 25 and the high 25. So focus on those kids as well, so they're not forgotten, and create specific program for all subsets of kids.
And what do those programs look like?
There's one particular program for the middle child. It's called the AVID program. It's called Acquiring Via Individual Determination. That goes in and focuses on student study skills, college readiness skills, mentoring skills, and career building skills, and really gets them to have that college going atmosphere within themselves, and also the programming that's in place as well. Then you have your programs for your low students, your intervention programs. But even for the high-performing students or the upper echelon students, you know, I ask questions about how many National Merit Scholars do we have, you know? Do we have ACE programming? ACE programming is Advanced International Certificate of Education. In a nutshell, in layman's terms, that's the international version of advanced placement. Do we have that? And I understand we want to become a global city. So do we have these things in our public education system that's going to attract global brands to come here and bring others from other countries as well?
All right, Mr. Anthony Hamlet, thank you for joining me today.
You're welcome.